Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is actually Lamed Hey. We're going to be learning daf Lamed Vav. We're daf ahead. Then Erev Shavuos because we're covering tomorrow's daf. We're learning B'schus Fush Shlema Mashaleya Bas Matel Gittel, right? Fush Shlema Mashaleya Bas Matel Gittel. The surgery should go smooth and easy and a quick, speedily recovery. We left off Lamed Hey Amid Beis, bottom of the page by the Mishnah, Zakhdi Mishnah. Balei Tzapar, we're continuing on the Kain Gadol's Veda on Yom Kippur. This is what we discussed today is completely unique to Yom Kippur. Balei Tzapar, he comes to his par, Upare Ayyamid Ben Ulam Mizbeach. Kain Gadol comes to his par, and if you have the diagram of the base of Mikdash, of the Azara in front of you, it would make life a bit easier. The Gemaras will, some of the Gemaras have pictures coming up in the next couple of pages in the Sifta, the art school. But just a reminder, in the middle of the Azara was the Mizbeach HaChitzen, and in between, going further to the west, of course, was the Ulam, which opened up into the Heichel, which went to the Kesh Kedashim, that's going from east to west. So the Parah of the Kohen Gadol, the Parah of the Kohen Gadol, was standing in between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, and his Reish Ladarm, head was facing south, the part of the Ma'ariv. So the animal was facing from north to south, his head was facing south, but they turned his face, actually the overall body of the animal was facing to the south, but the actual face of the animal itself was facing towards the west. The Gemara is going to ask, so if the intent is clearly to have animal's face facing the west, then why don't you have the animal going east-west? Why is the animal going north-south? The Gemara will address that. The Kayan stood in the Mizrach in the east, and the Kayan was facing the Heichel, facing the Kesh Kedashim. His face was towards the west. The Samech Tiyad of Allah, and he was Samech in the Tzmich with two hands on top of this par. And he was Mefadah, he said, Vidoy. We're going to speak on later in the daf. We'll mention now already. The Mikdash Shavah just points out that the Kohen Gadol, three times on Kippur, we're going to have that he has a Vidoy, and all three times it's a Smicha. So even again, Smicha is not really our Sugi here in Yuma. It comes up elsewhere. Menachas comes up in Zvachim. But we will touch a little bit on Smicha. But one of the key points Mikdash Shavah points out is it seems like every Vidoy, there's a connection between Vidoy and Smicha. Every Vidoy is a package deal with a Smicha. V'kachay Eimer, this is what the Kohen Gadol would say. We know this from our Nusach of Tefillah on Yom Kippur. Ana Hashem, Avisi Peshati Chatasa Fenecha. I have done a virus. Avisi Peshati. Avisi Peshati are both connotations of more willful, mazed type of virus. Some are stam mazed, some are more rebellious even. Even Peshat, really, and Chatasi is more of a chait, is more of a chatas, a sin that was, may have been a little bit, that may have been by accident. Anu Vesi, so he's being misvada of all types of chatoim, all three types, mazid, rebelliousness, and shaygig. Anu Vesi, Ana Hashem, Kaparna Lavanis, Pesham Chatoim, forgive the Avainis, Pesham Chatoim, Shavis, Peshati, Peshatas, Penecha, that I have sinned again, both willingly, rebelliousness, and inadvertently. Anu Vesi, Kakas Peseris, Mesham Decha, like I am a household, like it says in the Tayyar Smesha, Kivyam is a chaper aleichem. The Gemara Mishnah doesn't quote that in the Pasuk, but of course, it's the famous Pasuk we say multiple times on Yom Kippur. And they would say after the Kayan would say these words, Baruch Shein Kvay Machus Alamed, they'd say, after he says the Shem Hashem, Baruch Shein Kvay Machus Alamed. Now there's a machlinkus in the Rishainim. There actually is not that much rush on this Masechta, because there's not much, that's unfortunate, in the Yalach Lamaisa, right? Rambam, there's plenty, but there's not so much rush. But the rush, there's rush in the first parak, rush in the eighth parak. So rush discusses, in the eighth parak, discusses what the Ana Hashem, what exactly was the Kayan saying? What was he saying, Hashem? Was he saying the Shem of first? So he brings from Haigayin that it was a 42 letter name of Hashem that they apparently still knew in the times of Haigayin, they knew what it was, but the 42 letter Hashem Hashem, that's what the Kayan would say. I'm just abbreviating, say on Hashem, but it was actually the 42 letter Shem of first. However, the Rosh Argus says, no, it's the four letter Yud Kei Vav Kei Shem of Hashem being pronounced, not like we say Adnos, but rather being pronounced in the fashion that it sounds, Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's what it refers to, not the 42 letter name of Hashem. Okay, now the Am, we said the Am, when they heard the shame, our Mishnah says that they respond, the Lashon, we say in davening actually is when you hear the shame Yaitse Mipi Kohen Gadol coming out of the mouth of Kohen Gadol. So the Arizal was medayik that Yaitse Mipi Kohen Gadol is mashma that there was some sort of special power that it wasn't even the Kohen Gadol that was giving effort to say it. It was like automatic. It came out, it was Yaitse Mipiv without even effort. There was a special power from Shemayim that the shame Hashem would come out of the Kohen Gadol's mouth. It was like effortlessly, which just happened. And he actually connects. We say the lashon of the pasuk Akash Baruch says, "Bekol makom she'azkir Hashemi avei lecha v'ertich." Whenever my name is mentioned, I'll come there and bless you. Pasha, you say, "Whenever we mention Hashem's name," but the lashon of azkir means like I'm my name. I will mention my name. So again, it's the same idea that Hakadosh Baruch Hu himself causes, helps create that his name is mentioned. And there's an interesting chakira from the Biskarav. He has a clear when we say Baruch Shem Kavoy Machasolam in this Mishnah over here, corresponding to Shem Hashem. Was it said as like we answer Amen? After Shem Hashem was said, especially if it's a 42-letter name, after it was said, they responded, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Amen, instead of responding, Amen. And that's what we have this Gemara elsewhere. I think we had a Brachas, at the responses in the base of Migdash, maybe in Tainus, the responses in the base of Migdash of to a Bracha instead of Amen, that this certainly comes up in the second Berakhah Tainus, is Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Amen. That's the response to a Bracha in the base of Migdash. So is that what it is over here also? When you say Shem Hashem, you respond like you respond Amen. So it's after the Shem Hashem is finished, or the Biskarav debates, he has a tzad that no, as the Shem Hashem is being said, once you start hearing the Shem Hashem, right away the people would respond and say, and would say that they would say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Amen. And the Lashon over there we say in Davi and Yom Kippur is, and Va'afu Mechavin, that Kohen Gadol was Mechavin to finish together with the Amavarchim, connected to the people that were responding. What does it mean he finished connecting Amavarchim? It means that would sound like that they would say Baruch Shem as he was saying Shem Hashem, and they would finish at the same time. Not that they would respond to Baruch Shem afterwards, like a typical Amen, but again, it's a Chakira in the Brisker Rav. Okay. Zakti Gemara. Top of Lamavav and Alf. So the Mishnah we said, at the Kohen Gadol, where would he be standing with the Behem, with the power, in between the Heichal, in between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. In between the Ulam and Mizbeach, that's where he was standing. Okay. Now we know that Kacha Kacha Mashachted, where first mission in Ezeb Kaiman, seen in Davening, Ezeb Kaiman, what's the Makam for Kacha Kacha? In the northern part of the Azara. Kacha Kalamar in the south, we said it could be even the south. Doesn't mean Davening south, even the south, but again, Kacha Kalamar in the south, Kacha Kacha in the north. Of course, this Para is a Chattas, this Para is a Chattas, has to be in the north. Says the Gemara, Man Shamel Damar Ben Ulam Mizbeach Tzafen. Who's the opinion that holds that between the Ulam Mizbeach is called Tzafen? Meaning, what does Tzafen mean? We're going to have three Machlekes, but the most basic idea is you have the Mizbeach Achitzen in the middle of the Azar. We had Machlekes in early this Masechta. Was it smack dab in the middle of the Azara, meaning like completely covering the entrance to the Ulam and Heichal? Was it a little bit pulled further towards the south? Was it a little bit further to the north? Either way, without getting into that machlekes, the bottom line is north of the Mizbeach was called the north. That's clear. I mean, there's obviously you could say northern half of the Azara is called the north. Anywhere, split the Azara, the Azara is 135 Amos, top to bottom, split it in half, anywhere from the top 67 and a half Amos could be called north. But certainly north of the Mizbeach is Shpitz, that's for sure called north. North of the Mizbeach is called north. Over here, we're saying the Kohen was in between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. Maybe he was at a height that was north of the Mizbeach, but he wasn't directly north of the Mizbeach. He would be north to the Mizbeach and a little bit more to the west. So the Gemara wants to know, whose opinion could this follow? Says the Gemara, there's only three Machlokes, what's called north? Fekacha Kacha. Man Shamalei Damar Lei, Damar Ben Ulam Mizbeach Tzafen. Whose opinion says between the Ulam and Mizbeach is called Tzafen? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shemini, it's Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shemini. The time of the Rabbisa, Ezi Tzaf, what's called Tzafain, what's called North, Fekacha Kachem, in the Azara, Bekir Shem Mizbech Tzafaini, Ad Kesel Azara, Ukenegat Kol Mizbech, Kulay Tzafain, Devir Beis Buda. Beis Buda says very simple. Go to the edge of the Mizbech, the northern edge of the Mizbech, that wall, and go upwards, create this line on both edges of the Mizbech, on the west side and on the east side, and this is on the north of the Mizbeach, and go from the west to the east side of the Mizbeach, and go all the way up to the end of the Azara. That area directly above the Mizbeach to the north, that's called north. So according to him, our Mishnah would not shtim, because our Mishnah is talking about in between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. Even if it's north of the Mizbeach, it's to the west, it's northwest, that wouldn't be good. Rabbi Yisrael says, Dafkun, directly north of the Mizbeach. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Meisif, Af, Ben Ulam, Mizbeach. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon adds even between the Ulam, Mizbeach. So the Chayra, that stems beautifully with our Mishnah, that in between the Mizbeach also is called north, as long as it's north of the Mizbeach, that's also called north. It could be even, the Mefarshim, actually the way they describe it is, according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, not just north of the Mizbeach, as long as you're in the northern half of the Azara, the northern half of the Azara, and upwards, even if you're in between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, that's also called north. So you could actually be really in between, like that's really our case. The Mashmash of our case is, you're in between the Mizbeach, not just in between where the Mizbeach was and where the Ulam was, but higher up. You're actually physically in between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, and that would fit very well. That's why they're explaining that the northern half of the Mizbeach and upwards is also called north. That's a question of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi was Meisif, Rabbi was Meisif, even on the other side, even more towards the east. Rabbi Meis, Afmakut Jisus Rakli Kanim, Afmakut Jisus Rakli Yisrael. The northern half of the Azara, even in the 11 Amos where the Kanim walk, and the 11 Amos where Yisraelim allowed to walk, the first 11 Amos of the Azara, this is all the way towards the east. This is the entrance of the Azara coming from the Azaz Nashim. This is the most eastern part of the Azara. Even over there, the upper half, the northern part of the Azara, is all called north. Aval min ha-chalifas v'lfnim. However, everyone agrees that from the area of the Khalifa, that's where the knives were. So the knives were actually situated, remember, the Ulam was longer than the Heichel on both sides. The Ulam went further north-south, but was longer than the opening. The Heichel was 10 Amos. Opening the Ulam was 20 Amos. It was longer on both sides. In that extra section of the Ulam, where it's greater than the Heichel, in the extra section was a chamber for the knives. So we're saying behind that chamber, which is really basically north of the Ulam and the Heichel, but behind, no longer in between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. It's just to the north of it and above it. That already is no good. So it was saying, Avo min ha-chalifas v'lfnim, akol bayit shepasul, that's pasul. It's north, but it's north too far to the west. That's not going to be good. So says the Gemara, Leimei Abba Zerba Shimon, Hevelei Rebbe. Let us say, our Mishnah clearly is not, Rabbi Yisrael does for sure not. Let us say, our Mishnah is like Abba Zerba Shimon, who says that Bein Ulam l'Mizbeach is good, and not like Rebbe, who said that Bein Mizbeach to the outside of the Azara, to the east of the Azara is good. Says the Gemara, simple teretz. Avitim Rebbe. Hashtar Rebbe ad the Rebbe Yisrael, who the Maisif. When Rebbe's being Maisif, is he only being Maisif on Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda? Is he only being Maisif on the section in the center? He's saying, I agree to the center and also to the right of it, also to the east, but not to the west? He's being Maisif in everything. Since he's being Maisif in everything, L'chaira, the Mishnah could be Rebbe as well. It says the Gemara, Anan Hachaminun, I Rebbe hi nukum kol Azara. Gemara says, no, here's what we're bothered by. You're right, it could be Rebbe. According to Rebbe, the spot between Ulam Mizbeach would still be good. But why did the Mishnah specifically say that the Kayan Gadol stood with the Parah between the Ulam and the Mizbeach? According to Rebbe, it could have stood anywhere. But the Mishnah, according to Rav Elazar ben Shimon, is very good. He was mice of that spot, and Dafka, that's what the Mishnah says, in that spot is where the Kayan Gadol stood. But according to Rebbe, it could be anywhere. Why do we Dafka say that spot? Says Gemara, the Gemara answers it with a question. Rav Elazar ben Shimon, even according to Rav Shimon, v'nuk ben mizbeach l'kaisel, everyone agrees to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda's spot directly above the mizbeach. Everyone agrees that's good. So you still have a question: why are you putting it between the ulam and mizbeach? Put it directly above the mizbeach. Ella, what are you going to say? Ella, ma'aseh l'meimar, b'shem chush t'kai gadol. The Gemara says a very basic svara that we have throughout the whole day on Yom Kippur. We're always worried about the Kohen Gadol taking extra steps because he has so much avodah to do by himself. We want to minimize his travel, minimize the stepping. So having him between the Ulam and the Mizbeach is the least amount of steps. So that's why he's there as opposed to being on top of the Mizbeach. So certainly that's why I would be there as opposed to being all the way on the eastern side of the Zara. So again, the Mishnah could be like Rebbe, says the Gemara. The Rebbe Navi, so Rebbe can say the same thing. Avad Rebbe holds the north of the Mizbeach, the north of the Zara. Of course, the whole Zara is good, even to the east of the Mizbeach and certainly to the west and certainly on top. The fact that the Mishnah situated the Kohen Gadol with the Parah in the west, in between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, was because of Chush the Kohen Gadol. Says the Gemara, Mishnah Chush the Kohen Gadol, the Rabbi Nami, Mishnah Chush the Kohen Gadol. So Rabbi could also be the north of the Mishnah. We have no right that Mishnah is like Rabbi. The Mishnah is certainly not like Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, who says the only spot that's called north is north of the Mizbeach. But the Mishnah says you could do it between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, on the northern half of the Mizbeach, on the northern half of the Azara. That could fit, say, like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, or it could also fit like a Rebbe. And as a matter of fact, Rambam ultimately paskins like Rebbe. And some of the first won't explain the reason is because you see our Gemara is struggling to make Rebbe also fit in our Mishnah. Could be that's why Rambam paskins like Rebbe, because the Gemara went out of its way to say the Mishnah stems also like Rebbe. Okay. Now we said in the Mishnah, Reish Ladarim, upon the Marav. We said in the Mishnah that the animal situated, Reish Ladarim, facing, it's the animal's is rear is to the north, is faces towards the south, but it's meaning its head is to the south, but it turned its face towards the its head is towards the south, but its face is towards the Marav, towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim, towards the Heichel. It turned its face. Heichem Mishgachasla, if his head is facing south, how's it turning towards the west? I'm not like Mishra, because you tilt its head. You're right. You tilt its head, you basically pull the muzzle, you tilt its head, so its body is facing north south, but its head is facing towards the west. If you're so busy, if you really want the head to be facing west, the nuclear head, so why not just have the whole animal face directly west? Why put it north south and turn his head to the west? Why don't you keep the animal facing east west and have the rear towards the east and the face towards the west and finish? We're scared that maybe it'll defecate. And if it's going to defecate, what's going to happen? The glolim are going to be going towards the Mizbeach. If it's north-south, it's not kishmak to have defecation of the animal in the Azara, but it is what it is. It's facing the north. There's nothing directly above it that's unique like the Mizbeach. But if it's facing east-west, if the rear is facing the east and the head is facing the west, which is what we want, the problem is that it may defecate and it's going to be a bezayin, the bezayin of the glolim facing the Mizbeach. So therefore we have the animal facing north-south, turn its head to the west, even if it does relieve itself, it won't be the same level of Zayin. The Ritva quotes a Medrash that there was a Nais, that the animal never defecated. The carbon, this part of the Kohen Gadol, never defecated. It never happened. Still, why to face north-south? If there's such an Nais, why to face north-south? We know the answer because we've had this a few times with the Kohen Gadol. Never had Tumas Keri, yet there was a Nais, yet we still are mocking all these things to make sure he doesn't come to Tumas Keri because Ain Samech on the Nais. That's one of the answers given to the Yishalmi. Ain Samech on the Nais, we're not Samech on the Nais. Right? The Mashar quotes it. Over here, we had a couple times, and the Fichas, we had earlier, that Ain Samech on the Nais. So here too, they explain Ain Samech on the Nais, therefore, they still set up the animals, right? Even though it never happened. Lameister B'Yashav was a little bit bothered that if Taka such a Nais happened about the Kohen Gadol becoming Tamei was listed in the list of 10 Nisim. Of course, I say 10 in quotations because it would end up being much more than 10 Nisim, but there was a list of 10 Nisim that happened, and amongst the list was the Kohen Gadol became Tamei. It doesn't list amongst that list of 10, it doesn't list that the behemoth have defecated, so he just, again, it is a Maimon Chazal, the Ritva brings, but Rabashim was curious as to why our Gemara doesn't quote it in its list if that was indeed the case. Now, side halacha for the day, so the Chashuk Chemed was asked about a person that Nebuchadnezzar was a chayla. He was a chayla and he had a hard time controlling, this is a urination. And the shayla was, is he allowed to come to shul? Is he allowed to daven in shul? Or is it a bazayin if he's in the daven in shul and he's going to end up soiling himself in shul? Again, he's talking about urination. Maybe it would be different if he would be defecating. He's talking about urination. And he wants to know, the person that the shayla was, is it okay? The case over there was, that's not something that happened automatically every time. There was about a 10, they discussed the Nachrenim, the numbers, but roughly a 10 to 15% chance. It was a miyat hamatzi. That's the nusach that was used. It was a miyat hamatzi. It happens, miyat of the time, but it happens. Is it a problem? Is it better to stop it at home because it's a bazayin to the shul? Or is it better to come to shul? And if it happens, it happens. That was the shayla. So Zubishtan wanted to bring a raya from our Gemara, Yuma Daf Amavav. He wanted to say that you see in our Gemara, the issue is seemingly dafka by defecating. If it would be just urine, wouldn't it be an issue? So we see it's dafka, problem by defecating, and therefore not a problem. That's the raya he wants to bring. Then he says, 1 second, the Agamar is talking about a behema. But maybe by behemoth, it's only an issue of defecating. Maybe by Adam, it's a different standard. And maybe by Adam, again, no fault. Unfortunately, the person was a chayla. But maybe by Adam, we have to be makbid also. It's considered a bazayin. Even urination is a bazayin. Even not defecating, even urinating would be a bazayin. And therefore, he wasn't sure. So he brought to being a rai, resolved it from a tshuva, from a shver, from a Yashav Zatzal. Rabbi Yashav Zatzal had a similar shayla brought to him about a person that had an issue at nights. Specifically at nights, that when he slept at nights, that there was, a miyat hamatzi, that he would wet the bed. And the shayla was, could he sleep in the sukkah? Because at the end of the day, once he sleeps in the sukkah, if he wets the bed, it's going to be a smell of, and it's going to be this unclean stuff in the sukkah. Is that a bazayin to sukkah? Is it better for him not to sleep in the sukkah, or better to sleep in the sukkah? So Rabbi Yashav was resolved and said, Avadi should sleep in the sukkah, because when he goes to sleep, he's clean. And to the best of his ability, he's clean, and whatever happens while he's sleeping is like a masasik. He said, I don't want that to happen. Not even so much, I want to take away the word of sleeping, because I don't want to be a riot to Chashukhem, to Rabbi Zilberstein Shaila. Whatever, what happens to be sleeping. But the point is, when it happens that he loses control, he's a masasik. It's totally not in his plan. And therefore, he's certainly not held up, he's not held accountable for that. So if it happens, it happens. And he should leave the sukkah and clean up, but it's not something which is a reason not to sleep in the sukkah. So Rabbi, the Chashukhem wanted to say, the same idea would have happened in shul. That the same be for shul, that if a person goes to shul when he's clean, it's not, if he does it, it's b'chal masasik. Anyway, it's not up to him, it wasn't something that was in his control, and therefore he died from shul. If something happens, he'd have to leave shul, but he has to go with that knowledge. If something happens, he should leave shul, but not that he shouldn't come to shul in the first place. That was the psak of the Chashukhem. And again, the reason I bring up over here is because he attempted to bring a raya from our dinner over here with the behema, with the way the behema was lined up, north-south instead of east-west. Okay, sakti gemara, further, tana rabbanan. Ketzad seimech, how do you do smicha? The Zevach stands in the north, face towards the west. Again, it's standing in the north, and its hind is really towards the north, and its face was tilted towards the west. And the one who's doing smicha was standing in the east, and is facing totally the Heichel, facing the west. And he puts his two hands between the two horns of the Zevach, and there should be nothing being chaitzitz between his hands and the zevach. His hands should be touching the carbon directly. This is really a general discussion by kachikachim. This is not really just talking about the power of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. This is about general kachikachim. How do you do the smicha? So it's saying that carbon is always situated. The carbon is situated in the northern part of the azara with its face towards the west. The Seimach stands in the east, also facing the west. Puts his hands directly on the animal with enemy chatzitza. Umesvad, and he does the following vidai. Al-chatas, avichatas. If the carbon is chatas, he's mesvad for the avichatas, the aveira of the chatas that he's bringing for alasham, avinasham, which avinasham is discussion what he says exactly because it's a suffix aveira. Do you just say psukim of shvach, or do you actually reference the suffix aveira? It's discussion of the mishainim. Alayla, avinleket, shechrepe, amaisa. This is going to be the topic of conversation now. So the Ayla, what oven do you say for the Ayla? The oven of Leket, Shechet, Peah, and Maesarani. The oven of Leket, Shechet, Peah, and Maesarani, Divrei Saglili. Rabbi Kiva says no. Not the oven of Leket, Shechet, Peah, and Maesarani. By the way, those are positive commandments that he didn't keep. So he's being misfada for those with the Ayla. That's Rabbi Saglili. Rabbi Kiva Argus says, Ain Ayla Bala. Say, Ayla does not come for Asays. Veloy Ayla say, Shin Nitik Lasay. Ayla does not come for Asays, nor does it come for Lysasays that are Nitik, that are connected to Asays, which even a Lysasay, which once it's connected to Asay, doesn't carry a Malkus. So, therefore he says, the Ayla does not come for those things. That's what Rabbi Kiva is arguing on Rabbi Yesi Hagalili. Says the Gemara by Kemithik, what's the Machlaikis exactly? Amr Rabbi Yirmiyas, Rabbi Yirmiyas adds, Rabbi Yirmiyas explains. Rabbi Yirmiyah explains the Machlekes follows top of Maze, Belavd Nevela. The Machlekes says Belavd Nevela. Before we even read this Gemara, we should really just point out as follows. There's classic lav is, the Torah says, don't do something that's a lav. That's a classic lav. A lav in it to glasay, of course, is when you have a lav that's connected to glasay. But the Torah says, don't do something. And if you did it, don't steal. And if you stole, the Heshav Sneel, return the Gzela. Don't leave over Nacer. If you leave over Nacer, but Baish Tisrei for burn in the morning, that's a lav. Nitik Lasei, it's connected to Asei, which, so to speak, kind of fixes the lav afterwards, right? So we know lav Nitik Lasei doesn't get Malkus. Classic din, lav Nitik Lasei doesn't get Malkus. The question over here by these cases, all these cases that we're discussing in our Gemara now, which is the case of Leket Shechet Rabeya, where it says you should leave it, you should leave it for the Ani, so it says you're not allowed to take it. Rather, Ani Vlager Tazavesam. So there is an Asei there, but the Asei is really prior to the lav. When the Asei comes after the lav, we understand it fixes the lav, that's lav Nitik Lasei. But when the Asei is prior to the lav, is that called lav Nitik Lasei or not? Really, it's very similar. So, similar conversation we had in Bacchus in the third parak, so we're touching on a similar idea here as well. Maybe even easier to understand would be the case the Merchant brings up right now on top of Ambeis. Nevela. The Pasuk says by Nevela says, don't eat it. There's lav to eat it. Rather, what should you do? You should give it to the ger. The trefa, which Gemara doesn't bring taste, that's why the word doesn't bring trefa, but we'll get back to that in a second. But trefa, the pasuk says, don't eat it, and then it says, what you do with it? Give it to the dog. If the person ate it, and he didn't give it to the dog, or if he ate it, didn't give it to the ger, it's too late to give it to the dog. Now, it's too late to give it to the ger, to give it to the ger teshev. He already messed up. So over there, you have an assay with the lav, but the assay is clearly not to fix the lav after your aver, because after your aver, it's too late to do the assay. How do we view that? Is that considered a lav to lick assay or not? That is really the crux of our conversation over here, and that's the same conversation really applies to leka shechapeh. Says the Gemara. Where's the machleika? Says Rabbi Yirmiyah, top of a base again, but lav din avela, lav din avela, kamifigli. Rabbi Kiva Savar, lav ma'alyahu. Rabbi Kiva says that's a lav ma'alya. What does it mean, lav ma'alya? Jump into Rashi right in the side of the top line of the page in the Gemara. Five lines of Rashi. The like in a love. It's lav ma'alya gemalkus. The lav. The leket shechapeh nami, and we're going to compare lav leket shechapeh as well. The same thing. Asay de basrei, even though there's asay afterwards of tazay, meikar mash, but it's going before. It's earlier. Hecha mekra leket kizircha leislak. It don't take it. The leket of kizircha. Ela la ani tazav avenu. Rather leave it to ani. Vasetenu v'lakular and don't take it. I'm going for malchus. Vein ayla balav, and therefore it's no ayla because it's a regular classic lav meula which has malchus and it'll not be an ayla. It's not considered. That's what we're saying according to Rabbi Kiva's argument basically. Rabbi Zili suffer lav ma'alya. It is not a lav ma'ayahu, meaning it is considered a tekasei. Even though we go back into Rashi, Rabbi Yisi Aglili suffer lav denevela afagav dakarcha say the basrei is maskim. That the say that verb is the lav is after the say, right? The say the basrei may karmash because the say that's written afterwards really is going before. It's telling you to leave in the first place. Once you took it, it's too late. But so what? But once there is an asay there that's written after the lav, it's not comparable to lav de chasima. The lav de chasima, of course, is the classic lav where we have malchus next to that lav. That's the lav of being leisachsim sharbedishai. It's working the animal in the field while it's muzzled. You're not allowed to do that. So that lav is a classic lav of malchus. That's the lav de chasima. So since over here and over there there's no asay, and over here there's no asay, since over here there's no asay, it's not daimit lav de chasima. Even though the asay is not after the lav, we're basically those, it'll still be called the lav. How did the asay? That's the machlekes. That's how Rabbi Yirmiyah explains. Abaya amar duklam lav nevela lav ma'ayu ave. Abaya says lav nevela avenu gizis, a classic full lav. Hacha betazuk mevgizis. Specific machlekes my like a chicken and peya. Rabbi Akiva savar tazav meikara mash. Rabbi Akiva says tazav mash meikara. Basically, it's over hashtamashma. Over there by Nevela, it's pashit. You cannot have You cannot give it to the ger, give it to the kelev after you ate it. You're not supposed to eat it. Rather, give it to the ger, give it to the kelev. If you did it, if you ate it, it's too late to give it. And therefore, that's clearly lav malia. That's not the negase. Over here, even though the simple text of the pasuk would be, don't take it, leave it for the ger. Mitchila, you could also put it back and leave it to the ger afterwards also. Once you took it, doesn't mean you can't put it back. And therefore, that's the goof of the machlekes, whether the tazef by lekashikha peya is considered lav negase, even though by nevela certainly is not considered lav negase. But ultimately, again, the whole discussion over here is that oila is mechaper, something which is not a classic chait, not a classic lav or lav negase. And the question is, what's that category? Rabbi Kiva says that would not include a lekashikha peya nor nevela, whereas according to Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Yisegli would say lekashikha peya and nevela will have at whatever the Nevela, according to Basic Lili. Abaye says no, even Basic Lili's maskim, that Nevela would not have a din of an Ayla, but Lecha Shechapeya would have a din of an Ayla. Now, a few points. We're saying the Ayla is not really a classic Kapara. Asham is, Chata says, Ayla is not. Lamais, the Medrash does say very famously that the Ayla is Mechaper from Achshavas. Hehurim. Ayla is Mechaper from Achshavas. That is one point. Again, it's a Medrash. It's not necessary. The Gemara in Zvachim itself discusses that the kapara that Ayla brings is not a regular kapara. The Gemara says, Chatas is an Ayla, is a kapara. Ayla is a daron, is a present. Our Gemara clearly says, is referring to Ayla in some form of kapara. That Medrash recorded also refers to as being a kapara for Machshavas. So the Gemara itself in Zvachim says, it's Mekufya kapara. It's like a floating kapara. It's on the outside. I don't want to call it a superficial. Superficial is the wrong word, but it's not a full-fledged, it's not a regular classic kapara. It also affects kapara, right? We know famously, general bitul mitzvah saseh. When a person, forget about our Gemara focusing on lav and ifta saseh. General mitzvah saseh, we say that if a person misses kriya shema, right, we clap a chetz on Yom Kippur. If you look in the first one over there, the chetz for Ayla would be if someone misses kriya shema, it's mitzvah bitul saseh. If someone doesn't put on tefillin, it's a classic bitul saseh. The Ayla is a kapara for that as well. So we find that Ayla is a kapara for things, even though it's not a classic kapara like a chatas. But the point in our sugya is he's doing vidui on the Ayla. We want to connect it somewhat, as much as possible, to some sort of chatas. Now, Taisa to Rastel, we pointed out before, Lav de Nevela, Taisa says that the Gemara could have also said Trefa. The Gemara could have also said Trefa. So, just Taisa has Arichas about this, but without getting into the Arichas Taisa, it's a clearly clear reminder of the famous Reb Chaim, for his Bar Mitzvah Pshatel, Reb Chaim Brisker, his Bar Mitzvah Pshatel, he pointed out a famous shtickel, I think it's in the Brisker oven, in the stencils, bring this idea as well, that the we know there's something called Trefa and something called Nevela. The Pasuk says by Nevela, give it to the ger. By treif, give it to the dog. Right, but the difference between nevela and treif is nevela is the animal wasn't even shechted. You shoot the animal dead. Yeah, you stop and kill the animal. Treif is you shecht the animal and find, let's say, a hole in the lung. It's the classic case. It's a treif. So it sounds like to us, because the Torah describes it separately, and we have two separate names for it. That's two totally separate isurim. Reb Chaim's famous idea was that no, in both cases it's lacking heter shechita. In order for an animal to be kosher to eat. And a kosher animal is only kosher to eat if it has a heter shechita. Nevela was killed without a shechita, so of course it's misgat shechita. Trefa the chiddush is, even though you did a shechita, but since it has a trefa, it's not some zaitig of psul, some other psul of trefa, and therefore you can't eat it. The fact that it's a trefa makes it lacking heter shechita. That's the famous point. That's the key point of Reb Chaim's Lomdus. The fact that it's a trefa makes it, and you did not successfully achieve heter shechita. Nafkamina is a kezayis of iser, bas of chalav and a kazayas of iser chazer do not combine to get a shear of it was over two chatzis shirim, but doesn't combine to get a shear of a full kazayas of iser. A kazayas of veil and a kazayas of trefa would, I'm sorry, half a kazayas of bas v'chalav and half a kazayas of chazer would not combine. A half a kazayas of nevela, half a kazayas of trefa would yes combine, because at the end of the day, even though the Torah is giving them two separate names and it's two separate sounds and two separate categories, it's really all the same iser. What's the iser? Animal lacking shechita. It's an animal lacking shechita. It's missing the heter shechita. That's the iser of the vela and trefa. Big chiddush, big aside from Reb Chaim. The teishus and amadal from the bottom is bothered by another kasha. We're discussing seemingly lavim that don't get classic. We're trying to put together a group of lavim that don't have classic malchus, either because of the glace or for other reasons. Teish says there's a whole list of other lavim we could have listed. Lav sheba maisa, lav sheba cholias. Why do we only pick this case of lav and it's glace? Why don't we pick these other cases? So Teish, I mean, the Chorinim explained this really in Teish's answer, but they get into the conversation that there's two different types of lav that don't get malchus. There could be a lav that's got malchus because of a technical issue, or there could be a lav not getting malchus because it's a gila that it's a less of a lav. It's less chamar aveira. And less chamar aveira requires less of a maybe it's not entitled to the doesn't require a smicha. But the point is that just because we're not just coming up with a list of cases of lavim, we still get malchus. That's not the point of here, because some cases where it doesn't get malchus would be because it's a technical issue, but it's really the same level of lav. Whereas other cases, and that's maybe the case the Gemara brought, whereas the case of Tosfos references, the fact that it doesn't get malchus is more of a gila than general. It's a less chumer lav bechlal. Nafkamina, by the way, being nafkamina lemaisa, the first discussed, the Chayim discussed, and the Tosfos says a psaledus. A person who's clearly over and a lav is pasleidus. It could be only a lav where he's chayv malchus is pasleidus. A lav is not chayv malchus, he's not pasleidus. It could be totally, why is it not chayv malchus? If it's a technical issue, why is it not chayv malchus? He would still be pasleidus. If it's a gila that this entire type of lav is less of a chametic lav, he would still be kashleidus. That would be totally in that chakira. Okay. Says the Gemara further. Abaye Amar, we saw that already. We had answer of Birmia, and we answer of Birmia, answer of Abaye. Okay, we're up to Tanur Rabbanan. Actually, before we go further, one or two other points on smicha and on lavanatik lasei, and then we'll just the word end goes rather quickly. Smicha in general, this is general, not really our sugya, but once we touch on smicha, I think we're going to reference it a couple more times, but we've finished the main conversation so far, I believe, of smicha. We're about to elaborate a little more. The smicha in general is a chiyuv for men, not for women. A smicha is not a chiyuv for an isha or for a suma. Now, when a person is not mechuyev in smicha, it's actually problematic. Even a man, if there's no chiyuv smicha, he can't just elect to try to do smicha arbitrarily, because smicha requires fully leaning on the animal, and that would be a shtamishes bekachim. You can't be shtamish bekachim, it's us or it's mila. You can't benefit from bekachim, so you wouldn't be able to lean on the animal and do smicha unless there is a chiyuv. So nashimen and sumas are putter, and this conversation whether they even allow to, because do you say once they elect they can be part of the mitzvah, it's okay, or pash does not, because there's a problem of benefiting from the shtamishes from behemoth's kachim. The Mechas Chinuch has a clear, what about the yerish of an isha or of a suma? The animal belonged to Naila, belonged to a suma, belonged to Isha. Halachas Yerush could bring the carbon of an Naila that was left over by the mother or by the father who was a suma. The father is a suma, or the mother is a female, did not have a mitzvah smicha. He's inheriting that animal. He himself is a male. He's a bar smicha. So does he do smicha or not? It's a chakira in the Mechas Chinuch. He has a debate, Kshmak or Shaila, whether or not he does smicha in that case. Another Shaila Mechas Chinuch declares about smicha is there a bracha? Rashi, means right from Rashi, I believe it's Rashi in Erevin, and there Rashi says pretty clearly that there was a bracha that the Kohen would make when he did smicha. Lamaisa, Rambam never mentions a bracha when it comes to smicha. The Mikdash David, we pointed out before, just because reading it quickly, Mikdash David pointed out that you see clearly in our sugya that every time the Kohen Gadol did a vidui, he did a smicha. So there's some sort of connection. Maybe this vidui, maybe it's possible smicha without vidui, I'm not sure, but certainly every vidui needs a smicha. There's some sort of connection between the vidui and the smicha. That's clear. Now, Sigya, three times the Kohen Gadol is going to do Vidya, and three times he's going to do Smicha. Now, just a quick point on Lavan Tiklase, Stechemen S, that every single Lav should be Lavan Tiklase. There's a say, there's a Chiv to do Tshuva. So every Lav should be Nitik to the say of Tshuva. Why is every Lav not connected to the say of doing Tshuva? Instead, we say very specifically, that's going to be one of the answers, that you don't steal. If you steal, return it. Right? That's a form of Tshuva for stealing. But the point is, every Lav has Tshuva even without a direct specific atzivoy to fix up the iser. There's tshuva to fix it up. So why is that not considered that every single lav is a dilasay? So the first answer for the Nachash Yamin is exactly that. The lav that the dilasay is only when it's a prati, when there's an asay that's befrat for this lav. When there's a general asay throughout of tshuva for all avers, that's not considered a lav that the dilasay. That's the answer of the Nachash Yamin. The Sechemin brings from Pichas Schiffer from Lemberg that Geshmak, I love the Sheteretz, that if you're going to tell me that every lav is nitik lasei because of tshuva, then what's our source that we don't say lav nitik lasei gets malchus? Because the malchus is said by the lav of chasima, and therefore a lav of chasima is just a lav without nitik lasei, so it has to be demit chasima. So if it's nitik lasei, it's not demit chasima, therefore it doesn't get malchus. But if you tell me that every lav automatically is connected to tshuva, then it would come out that lav de chasima itself is nitik to tshuva and still getting malchus. So you would lose the whole concept. You're going in a circle. What do you want to say? That lav, you take established as a fact, lav de glasei doesn't get malchus, and every lav should be lav de glasei. Yeah, but if every lav is not lav de glasei, that would include lav de chasima, and then that means you'd get malchus lav de glasei, so you wouldn't be, I don't want to say benefiting, but you would not end up coming out with your outcome. The desired outcome of the Shaila was that lav nitik lasei should not get malchus. So it's coming out that every lav is nitik lasei, good, and you still get malchus. So you lose the whole concept anyway, and therefore it doesn't make sense. Kishmak Achap from a Pinchas Schiffer from Lemberg, the Yibuddha says, not like I'll be this question, but Yibuddha says elsewhere, that who recognizes Tshuva Kadosh Baruch Hu? It's a very simple answer. Tshuva is done to Akash Baruch Hu. Bezdin Shamata is the one who's meeting out the Malkus. They can't be the ones to decide whether or not this fellow did tshuva, and therefore he's Mekayim Nasei, and therefore he doesn't get Malkus, or not. They're not the ones to decide that, and therefore it wouldn't pass to have a lot of the Kasei to Hasei of tshuva, which is totally in Shemayim. One other Chakira, really, again, not really Mamash HaSegit, but once we've mentioned it a couple times in this Masechta already, and in the past, just quickly to point out, we just had a week or two ago, that when we talk about learning for Lavda Chasima, we had a Gishmak HaChakira, Machlekes in the Rishenim, do we say, one of the things we learn from Lav Chasima, say, is that it's got to be a Maisa. A Lav Sheshba Maisa. Because Chasima, you're plowing the animal in the field while it's muzzled. That's a Lav Sheshba Maisa. The Gemara discusses, what if you do Chasima B'Kael? What if you do it with your voice? So you're not doing a Maisa. So is there Malkus or not, right? What's the Shaila? The Shaila would be that the Lav de Chasima itself, in general, is a Lav Sheshba Maisa. The Lav de Chasima, when it's performed by the voice, you're not doing a Maisa. But it is a Lav that is generally done with a Maisa. Do I go based on the Lav, the way I'm doing it right now, or they go based on the lav in general? They go based on lav in general, or the way I'm doing it right now, that is a general shayla also when it comes to learning for lav to chasima. That's particularly lagami lav shema meisa, but it could be applied other facets as well. Do you go based on the general kolistika status of the lav, or the specific of the case that the person is being over? That is a chakira. Machlek is really in the Rishonim, which you pointed out a few blad ago. Tanravan. How do you do vidu the kain gadol? Has vidu this back to the power? This is not general. This is back to the power. He says avisa pshati chadasi v'chein b'sar mishleich with the tzar lekos lazazel huemer v'svada love says the pasuk v'svada love v'kol venis based in Israel v'kol p'sheim v'chol chadasim. So you do avinus p'sheim chadasim, which is also avisa pshati chadasi v'chein b'meishu huemer nayse avinu pesh v'chata. He carries the avin the pesh v'chata. Different mer. That's the words of mer. V'chol meimrim avinus el zainus. Avinus refers to zainus. V'cheinu Eimer, he carries the car's nefesh, he avayna ba. Avayna over there, talking about Bekaris, talking about Zadin. Pshayim Eilam Meradim. Pshayim, not just Mezid, that's even more, it's rebelliousness. V'cheinu Eimer, Melech Mayev, Peshebi. V'Eimer, Asi Pasha Livna, Peshahin, L'chol Chatasa, what does L'chol Chatasa mean? Eilish Kagas, that refers to Shegegs. V'cheinu Eimer, nefesh kisechta Bishkaga. A nefesh that did a chait Bishkaga. So now that the Chachamim really are setting up for the question, they're going to argue a mayor. Now that they defined that Avayn means Aveir B'mezid, Pesha is rebelliousness, and Chatas means Chet B'Shegeg. U'me'achish is Vadal Zaynus V'amradim. Chet V'Vadal Shkagas. Why Shkagas last? He's already done Vidoy for the Mesids. He's done Vidoy for the Meridas, for the rebelliousness. And presumably, we're assuming that with the Vidoy comes the Kapara. So if he's already done Vidoy, I mean, he didn't actually check the animal yet. He didn't do the carbon yet. But the point is, he already did the Vidoy for it. After being Misvada for the heavy Mesids, Misvada for the lighter ones, L'chaira, if he's already granted, if we're assuming that through the Vidoy, he's getting his Kapara already, again, I understand that the carbon wasn't brought yet, but there's some level of atonement coming with the Smicha, with the Vidoy. So if he's already getting the Kapara then, so then why would he be doing vidui for the less averus? It would almost be like a kolshkein. He already got kapara for the lighter averus. Ella, therefore, kachayim esvada. This is the nusach according to Chachamim, and the Kagod would say chatasi vavisi pashati. Put chatasi first, then avisi, which is mezid, then pashati, which is merida, going up in level of stringency of the averus. Lefanech ani vavisi v'chulei. V'chei b'davno emer chatanu mavisenu avinu rishanu. Tzaka chatanu. Havinu Hirshanu. Chaim Shlomo Eimer Chatanu Vavinu Rishanu. Chaim Daniel Eimer Chatanu Avinu Rishanu. Rado again. It puts first the Chait, then Avinu, and then the Rishus or the Merida. Elamau Shamar Maisha. But now we have a question. The Maisha we quoted before from Maisha Avinu. Elamau Shamar Maisha Neisa Avim Feshav Chatah. Amar Maisha Vekash Baruch Hu. Rabbi Shlomo Mishashi Yisrael Chait Lufnecha Vaisim Tshuva. When Klai Yisrael does Chatah in front of you, and then they do Tshuva. Aselam is Dainus Kishkagas. Treat this Dainus like Shkagas. Downgrade this Dainus into Shkagas. That's the Nusach over there. So it's quoting this Dainus first for Shkagas, not because first be Mechapas Dainus and then Shkagas. No, downgrade this Dainus into Shkagas. Right, Madregas. Bring down the level of Chait of Zadon and Shkaga. That's what my Shemitah Tefillah was. Therefore, Zadon was mentioned first. I'm Rabbi Shmuel, Rav. Halachat v'cham, halachat v'chamim. Therefore, the Nusach is Chatasi, Avisi, then Pashati. Says Mar Pshita, Yach Ram Lach Rabim. You have Yach Ram Lach Rabim. What do you have to tell me? Lach is like the Chamim. Says Gemara by the Tema. Mestaver Mestam in the Remeir. Meis Mestam is Mestaver. To come and say Karmaisha, because he brought the Pasuk Karmaisha Benu. That clearly fits the Pasuk Karmaisha. Does fit Remeir's order. And therefore, maybe we pass Karmaisha over here, even though he's Yachid. Kamash Mundo, we still pass the Chamim. They're the Rabim. Even though Remeir's Lashon does fit, Remeir's Lashon fits Lashon Karmaisha Benu. Taka, a story where someone was naig like Remeir. Who did not come? Someone went down to Talmud, noticed Lashon. lashon down. We put this out in the past. But makar sicha in the view of the shul in the when they did the renovations, they didn't leave this way. But in one of the minyanim, at least one, it used to be that the floor was recessed by the beam by the amud where the shir tzibah davened. The floor was recessed to drop because mima makar was supposed to call Hashem from the depths. It was an idea of the shliach tzibah going down to the amud. Okay, so ahu nachas kamei the rabba. There was a person who went down to the amud in front of rabba and he vavikar meir and he davened on Yom Kippur like Rameir. Amar leiv Rameir. The rabba said to him, shavkar rabban vavikar meir. You left rabban and did like Rameir. Amar leiv said, yeah, Rameir is feely. Why? Because it's the Meisha. Rameir makes sense to me. That's what I thought makes the most sense because it's exactly like the words of Meisha Rabbeinu in the Torah. Therefore, I did like Rameir did. So we see that there was this, even though it's Yaakov Rabim, Rameir had this riot for Meisha Rabbeinu, and therefore there were those that chose to rule like Rameir. Again, we passed like the Chumim, but there was this other tzad. We have to speak it out of here because of this other tzad called Rameir. Tanaban. V'chiper, a couple of lines, and we'll stop. V'chiper, it says the pasuk by the void of the Kagadol, by his par, it says V'chiper, he's mechaper on his behalf. And on behalf of his household, Abesai. The Kapar is the Rambam, because Medaber, this Kapar we're talking about now is a Kapar of words. It's a Kapar actually gets to what I was mentioning just before. And we're discussing over here that he already got a Kapara for the Merida, so for the Mazen, then he's going to go to the Shagigs, because the Kapar is coming from words. Said the Rambam, Kapar is the Vermakas Medaber. It's talking about Kapar of words. That's what we're referring to right now. Ata Ema Kaparas Dvarim is referring to Vida of Kaparas Dvarim. Ayin Ela Kaparas Damim. Maybe it's referring to Kapar of blood. Maybe it does Bechlama not talking about Vida. Maybe we're talking about this is the Kapar that we're getting. We're just describing the Kapar that will be atoned through, that will be attained through the Dam. Ari done. I make it the following logic. Never kapar, never lomba kapar. This kapar here, this kapar by Azazel. Ma kapar mo basar by the soul Azazel. There's no dam there. You throw it off the mountain. There's no zrika. Ma kapar mo basar tevarim. The kapar that it references by the sar is talking about these words of vidya of confession. Af kapar mo bapar. So to by bapar, the words the kapar referred to is a kapar of dvarim. If nafsh leimer, and if you'll say not a good comparison, the Gemara will explain why. Hariu leimer. Think of Aaron as par chatas ashalay v'chiper bad. The pasuk says lashon of hikam iron is parachatos eshalei v'chipe will be kapara ba'ad vad beisai and it wasn't shechti and it's still called a kapara. Must be there's this other kapara of words of vidui separate from the dam itself. Ma'iv nafsh leimer. What do you mean in nafsh leimer? What would be bothered? What would be troubled with the comparison to the Azazel? Why that wouldn't be a good enough raya that we're talking about a vidui of peh of dvarim v'chiteim a neilif besar. If you're going to say, no, don't go to the par that goes to Zazel, the sar that goes to Zazel, go to the other sar, which is more comparable because it's a karma that goes to Fnim. And over there, the kapara would be with the dam taka, not with the vidui. And you can't be your right from the Zazel when you have a more similar sar that goes with Fnim. Therefore, we say, it says in the pasuk v'chiper, par is v'chiper, and the par wasn't shechted yet. We'll stop over here. We're still in the middle of the conversation. You know, let's read three more lines. I don't keep. We're not going to get the mission. We'll get to the. Let's say try to get to the kasha. Says the Gemara, the two dots. Menayin on the top of Lamed Zayin Aleph. Menayin Sheba Ana. How do we know that the Yom Kippur the Vida starts with the word Ana? Never can Kapara. Never Lam B'Chayiv Kapara. Says by Chayiv by Meisha's Vida B'Chayiv says Kapara. Mal Halon B'Ana. Says La Shem Ana Afkan Banu Mnei Shem B'Shem Nemer Kam B'Kapar Nemer Kan Kapar V'Nemer B'Egla Rufa Kapara Mal Halam B'Shem Afkan B'Shem Amar Abaya Bishlam B'Chayiv B'Egla Rufa Le'Elif Chayiv from Egla Rufa you're learning out My Dave Havi because those that was history already happened Egla Rufa tells B'Chayiv and say Chayiv Killer Egla Rufa because Chayiv already happened this history is done Egla Rufa is a parasha for the future so why doesn't Egla Rufa learn out from Chayiv to say the word Ana? We know we have the word Hashem from Egla Rufa, but you have the word Ana as well. Says Gemara V'chidem, maybe say, yeah, you do. Maybe by Egla Rufa you do say Ana Hashem. For a time we learned to the Mishnah that discusses the idea of Egla Rufa in the end of Seita. It doesn't say Ana over there. Says Gemara Kash Takashver. So we're learning out Ana from Chayrev. We're learning out Hashem from Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa has the word Hashem. Egla Rufa does not learn out Ana from Chayrev. That seems to be the clear Mishnah in Saita Daf Mevav. Why not? The Gemara leaves it as a Kasha. The Gemara is going to continue to the Mishnah with this answer. The Kayim. We'll leave that Mitzvah for Matzei Yom.